entitled matter as to count one, unintentional second-degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty. This verdict agreed to this 20th day of April, 2021 at 1:44 p.m. Signed, juror foreperson, juror number 19.
That was the first count, second-degree unintentional murder, also third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter under Minnesota law. Officer Derek Chauvin, of course, found guilty on all three counts and taken immediately into custody. Bond revoked and sentencing will be in about 2 months. The trial that sparked protests across the nation last year and even here locally, we've talked about this many times, and of course you're all well informed. Joining us now, we have Ellison Bennett. He is a board member with the National Movement for Human and Civil Rights, longtime civil rights activist. He's also a former Haines City police officer, Anascambia Sheriff's Office officer. Ellison Bennett, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Thank you.
Absolutely. So when you heard those words, when you saw this verdict yesterday out of Minnesota, what was your reaction?
Well, first of all, let me say, I didn't rejoice. Being a former law enforcement officer, trying to understand the mindset of the officer that had his knee on George Floyd's neck, and the family having to relive that video over and over and over again. At some point in our lives as American citizens, we think resorting to violence is the answer to resolving any issue. I don't know if George Floyd and the officer had a long history of knowing each other, but what I found disheartening was he was in handcuffs in an SUV, taken out of the SUV, stood up against a wall, and then the other footage show he ends up on the ground, still in handcuffs, and you got your knee on his neck. I mean, that's law enforcement escalating things to a different level, and at the end of the results, the man is dead.
Yeah. Yeah. And I share your sentiment that you can believe the right outcome was had here, but I don't know how you rejoice, because it's lives lost. One life clearly lost. Other lives are going to be lost to jail time, families separated. There's nothing good about it. If only there's good in the sense of maybe this is a step in the better direction for accountability. We certainly hope that that's the case. When you you had this meeting yesterday, and that was the main reason I wanted to have you on, but of course in the interim we had the Derek Chauvin verdict. You had a meeting yesterday. This is not the first meeting that you organized with the administrators of now called Oakwood Terrace, formerly Truman Arms, the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Pensacola Police Department, several local folks. What happened in the meeting?
Well, it was a very positive meeting, first of all. It was about 9 of us there, the Sheriff's Department, the interim police chief, Captain Reese from the Pensacola Police Department, former officer Delarion Wiggins, who's now on the city council, Pastor Rodney Jones, who is a president of Movement for Change, Lawrence Powell, director of neighborhood director for the city, and then the pastor of that church, Kingdom Harvest. I was trying to attempt to bring people together, leaving egos and titles at the door, and talk to people as individuals. I think every citizen of Escambia County should be concerned that guys in broad daylight go to a public housing area where you have children and women, and we know two women were shot as well, and fire 40 rounds and just disrespect for human life. So when I reached out to the owners of Forest Creek and Oakwood Terrace, formerly Truman Arms and Warrington Village, they own both properties. I say, look, something has to be done to deter crime. They say, Ellison, we're getting on a flight, and this was last Friday. We'll be there Monday. You have talked to us when we had the floods out at Warrington Village, and certainly there have been at least 3 people killed at Truman Arms down through the years. We know Frozone was last year, and it is just appalling that people can have information and they'll withhold it to think that, okay, we're not going to be a snitch or whatever. And shooting occurred because the bad people are still out on the street and they need to be incarcerated. And mental health has to play a part of that whole conversation we had yesterday. That's why we had Taran Black, who counseled young people over at the Lakeview Center, because we cannot continue this trend of thinking it's okay to take another person's life, and you don't only affect the person that you kill, but the family members. So we have to try to have a conversation with young people at an early age before they get 14, 13, 19 years old.
Yeah. Did the owners, operators, managers that came into town, did they I read some of the accounts of this like on WAR, but did they give you what you thought were concrete action steps to help make those areas safer?
Yes. The first thing they did, I witnessed on, I think it was Monday, we had the meeting yesterday, the gate that normally stays open 24 hours of the day, they closed it. And tenants was given a code or either a little key card they could use to get in. But while Channel 3 was there and recording it, we saw at least 10 cars pull up to the gate. They didn't have the code. They turned around and left.
Wow.
That says to me that those people did not live there. And it's going to take that with all public housing, neighborhoods. If you know that people are coming with bad intentions and you sitting silently by as a silent onlooker and say, well, I don't want to get involved, that is not healthy for the community as a whole.
Well, that's, to me, that's very encouraging. I guess there was also some commitments about installing more security cameras and having actual staff man, like the front, if there's a shack or a guardhouse or anything like that, that they seem to be willing to do that as well. All of these things seem to be good to me.
Yes, and hiring off-duty officers to man, there's as you said, there's a guard office there right at the entrance. And, you know, it's empty. And it should be people there so they know that law enforcement is present. We even request that on a routine patrol that the deputies drive through the area. It's a large housing area, not to intimidate or harass people, to ensure people of their safety. You know what broke my heart? To see the 7-year-old boy on the news crying, and all this child wanted to do is to be able to go to school and be safe when he returned home from after school.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, I know you're very, you know, you work very closely with all the law enforcement in the area too, and I've said this before, I've been encouraged by what Sheriff Simmons has said about this. Every single one of our citizens deserves the same amount of safety in their person and their freedom of movement and in their homes, and anything that can be done to improve that is a good thing. So it sounds like things are improving, which is good, and there's a lot of different things that need to improve. Ellison Bennett, he is on the board of the National Movement for Human and Civil Rights, a longtime civil rights activist. Of course, he's also a former sheriff's deputy here in Escambia County and also at Haines City. Ellison, you're always welcome on the show. You know that already, but thank you so much for what you're doing, and thanks for some time
thank
this
you.
Morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.